This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel we have today actually has a beginning that does not show up in the reading. What has happened is something very tragic. A very close friend, companion, and cousin of Jesus has been beheaded and has been killed. The life of John the Baptist has been taken. Once Jesus receives that news, he finds it very important to go off to a remote place, to be by himself, to have time to perhaps pray, but to also to grieve. And that is where we find the beginning of this gospel. He's seeking a place, a remote place. But the people figure out where he's going ahead of him, and as he arrives to that place to find time to be alone with God and his thoughts and his grief and his prayers, a large crowd and their needs are calling out to him. And is so typical of Jesus, he has compassion upon the people and begins to minister to them. And so our story begins there. And suddenly now, as the day is growing later, the disciples begin to get nervous and to worry. And so they come to Jesus with some advice. They say to Jesus, as we hear from that scripture reading again, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Now, I have to say, I admire the disciples in this situation. A lot of times, they don't quite seem to get it and seem to look like a bunch of bumbling idiots. But here, they seem to do something quite remarkable. They begin to see the development of a problem before it becomes a real problem. And in addition, they also have a solution. And so, they are using their common sense, and before they typically would run around wringing their hands and saying, "What do we do? What do we do?" As the problem spirals and becomes worse, they have a solution. And so they go to Jesus with a practical solution and tell him, "Please dismiss the crowd. They're going to be hungry. We're going to have a problem here." I also admire the disciples because I really believe that they are concerned about Jesus. They know that he hasn't had this quiet time that he needs. They're also concerned about the crowd. They know the crowd is going to become hungry. Maybe the adults can handle it, but the children, it's going to get to be chaos. And so here they are. "Jesus, you've got to do something now. Stop it right now. Take charge. Send them away so they can get something to eat. And let this day end on a happy note where you can find some private time." But Jesus, in his own incredible wisdom, with the love and compassion of God, realizes he has a different solution than what the disciples are offering. And as the scripture says, Jesus simply turns to those disciples and say, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Well, you know, I can just imagine the faces of those disciples right now looking at each other as they gaze upon what meager food that is there. 5 loaves and 2 fish? Jesus, you must be crazy. Come on, Jesus, get serious. Get with the program. How are we going to feed all of these people? But Jesus, again, simply looks at them and very gently responds, "Bring them to me. Bring the fish and the loaves." And in the meantime, he orders the people to sit down on the grass. Oh my gosh, he's building up their expectations. Obviously, he's telling them to make themselves comfortable, and he's going to feed them. This only makes the disciples more nervous. But then notice what happens. And maybe you didn't hear it when it was read a moment ago, but listen to the words again as to what occurs now. Jesus takes those loaves and the fish and holds them up to heaven. He blesses them, breaks them, and gives them to the disciples and to the people. Did you catch the words? Takes, blesses, breaks, and gives. That totally describes what we do each week at this altar. This is a story that reveals something more than just feeding people fish and loaves. It is Jesus' intention here on this remote hillside to do something more than just feed the people. He intends to do something more. He intends to make this event, this occasion, an experience of God's presence in their midst. To reveal to them that he is truly the Son of God and that he is the source of life. And so Jesus takes that bread and takes the fish and blesses them and makes them to be something more than just bread and fish. Let me give you a parallel story that may help you to understand what this story is teaching. I knew of a young man who wanted to become engaged and wanted to do it in a very meaningful way. So he takes his fiance to a very fine restaurant. They have an exquisite meal. After the wonderful dinner, they go back to her apartment and they decide to choose a piece of classical music that they both love. And as they sit there listening to this music, he goes over to the bookshelf and pulls out a book of poetry and opens to a poem that is a poem that means a great deal to the two of them. And they read the poem. And then when they're done, he shares these words with her. He says, "Music I heard with you was more than music. And bread I broke with you was more than bread." And with that, he went down on his knee and proposed marriage. Now, what woman would not want that kind of proposal? Delivered with such elegance, with such grace and romance? Of course she said yes, and of course they got married. But more importantly, again, look at the words he shared. "Music I heard with you was more than music, and bread I broke with you was more than bread." You see, their time together is to become something more than just ordinary time. It was a time beyond working to eat or eating to survive. This event is to raise them to a new level of existence in which there is deep spiritual meaning in their relationship. It is now a holy time. And they will always remember that day and that event because of that kind of depth. And so the proposal of marriage was an invitation that would allow them to spend the rest of their lives together in an elevated life. A life that would allow them to bless and be blessed. A life that would allow them to be loved, to love and to be loved. That is exactly what Jesus was doing on that day, on that remote hillside, as he multiplied the fish and the loaves. And I'm sure the vast majority of people that were there that day didn't catch it. Perhaps a few did, but I think perhaps most did not. But I truly believe the disciples did get it, one of the few times that the disciples got what was going on. Those disciples witnessed something much more than their imaginations could possibly grasp. As Jesus took that bread and those fish from them, as he blessed it and broke it and gave it back, they were fed. And they in turn gave to the people around. And the basket passed among all the people, and everyone ate, and everyone was satisfied, and everyone was filled. For as the scripture says, "And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." 5,000 men plus women and children. Does that mean 7,000? Maybe 10,000 people? Whatever the figure was, the point is that the need was so great that there was never any chance that those disciples would have been able to have fed all of those people. The need was overwhelming. But with the help of Jesus, the need was met. Everyone ate. Everyone was satisfied. And there was something left over. 12 full baskets left over. A symbol of abundance. A symbol that a miracle indeed has taken place. A symbol that God is truly present in this event. And that Jesus breaks all the rules of nature and all the rules of math to make the presence of God known and to meet the need of the people on that hillside that day. I know that Jesus continues to perform miracles among us today. It continues. He transforms people's lives. Jesus still breaks into the world today and helps us to address the needs of the world and how great those needs are. Look how epidemic the needs are that we confront today as a world. Epidemic of starvation, AIDS, drug and alcohol abuse, as well as violence. But you know, it's interesting. I think we identify with those disciples a great deal. Just like those disciples, we walk around and we scream out to Jesus, "What can we do with what little we have? How can we meet the needs of the world around us with what little I have?" And so Jesus simply says to us also, you may not be able to meet the needs of the entire world, but as Christians across the world come together, we can make a huge difference. Just simply give to me what little you have, what meager portion you have to offer. That is all that is needed, that I may bless it and in turn bless you so that you can turn and bless others. That is the miracle that takes place in this story. We are able to do what we can because Jesus invites us to give what little we have to offer. It is enough. Jesus doesn't ask us in life to do great things and to be great persons. He simply invites us to be faithful. Be faithful in responding. Be faithful in offering, no matter how little it is, and come to know his love and blessings for your life, that you may turn and bless others. And so it is my prayer that we continue to be vehicles of God's grace for this world, that as we give of what we can, God may not only bless us, but that in turn, what has been blessed can bring life to the hurting world around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.